From Greenville, South Carolina, we present Let the Bible Speak. Let the Bible Speak is the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, preaching Christ in all His fullness. Thank you for joining us for another broadcast of Let the Bible Speak. Today we continue a series of studies in the Law of God, messages preached by Dr. Alan Cairns, Minister Emeritus of Faith Free Presbyterian Church in Greenville, South Carolina. We'll hear from Dr. Cairns in just a few minutes. First, please enjoy this devotional thought from C.H. Spurgeon's collection called Morning by Morning.
This morning's text is found in Psalm 111 and verse 9. He hath commanded his covenant forever. The Lord's people delight in the covenant itself. It is an unfailing source of consolation to them, so often as the Holy Spirit leads them into its banqueting house and waves its banner of love. They delight to contemplate the antiquity of that covenant, remembering that before the day star knew its place or planets ran their round, the interests of the saints were made secure in Christ Jesus. It is peculiarly pleasing to them to remember the sureness of the covenant while meditating upon the sure mercies of David. They delight to celebrate it as signed and sealed and ratified, in all things ordered well. It often makes their hearts dilate with joy to think of its immutability as a covenant which neither time nor eternity, life nor death, shall ever be able to violate. A covenant as old as eternity, and as everlasting as the rock of ages. They rejoice also to feast upon the fullness of this covenant, for they see in it all things provided for them. God is their portion, Christ their companion, the Spirit their comforter, earth their lodge, and heaven their home. They see in it an inheritance reserved and entailed to every soul possessing an interest in its ancient and eternal deed of gift. Their eyes sparkled when they saw it as a treasure trove in the Bible. But oh, how their souls were gladdened when they saw in the last will and testament of their divine kinsman that it was bequeathed to them. More especially, it is the pleasure of God's people to contemplate the graciousness of this covenant. They see that the law was made void because it was a covenant of works and depended upon merit. But this they perceive to be enduring, because grace is the basis, grace the condition, grace the strain, grace the bulwark, grace the foundation, grace the topstone. The covenant is a treasury of wealth, a granary of food, a fountain of life, a storehouse of salvation, a charter of peace, and a haven of joy.
Over me, your love will forgive me, and
If anything is obvious in this modern society, it is that people are confused, frightened, and uncertain about the future. Where does one look for the solution to the universal problems of guilt, doubt, and temptation? A number of years ago, Dr. Alan Cairns produced a booklet entitled A New Beginning, which deals with such questions as, How may I have my sins forgiven and my guilt removed? How may I be sure that I possess eternal life and that I am not deluding myself? And how may I enjoy the Christian life and live above constant failure and frustration? Dr. Cairns answers these questions from the Word of God. A New Beginning is for inquirers into the nature of the Christian message of salvation and for Christians desiring to gain a good grasp of the first principles of the gospel. It is useful for both personal use and for group study and discussion. For a free copy of A New Beginning, you may call us at 864-244-2408. That's 864-244-2408. You may email us at info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. If you prefer regular mail, simply write, Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. Just ask for your copy of A New Beginning, and we'll be happy to provide it. As he continues this series in the Law of God, Dr. Cairns commences a message entitled, The Law in the Life of the Believer. The text is found in James chapter 1, verse 25. The relationship of God's law to Christians has been and continues to be a subject of great controversy. On the one hand, there are the legalists who believe that one can obtain acceptance with God only by keeping the Ten Commandments, which is nothing less than salvation by works. On the other hand, there are the antinomians, who insist that the law of God has no place in the lives of believers in Christ. In other words, they boast that they can live as they please because they are not under the law, but under grace. In the course of this message, Dr. Cairns will explain the Bible's teaching and show that Christians are called to continual obedience to God's law, and through that, to blessing and liberty. Now to introduce The Law in the Life of the Believer. Here is Dr. Cairns.
The relationship of born-again believers to the law of God has always been a matter of the most heated controversy in the Christian church. On the one hand, we have legalists. Underline the term. Legalists who teach, in effect, that it is by keeping the law that we gain acceptance with God. At the opposite extreme, we have, and again note the word, we have antinomians, a word that means simply against the law. We have antinomians who hold that the law has been entirely abrogated for Christians, that it is no longer even the rule of life for those who are in Christ because they have been justified freely by grace through faith, and with them the law has nothing whatsoever to do. Now the debate continues today. It appears nowadays that most people are practical antinomians. Most professing Christians appear to be practical antinomians. That is, they think they are so free from the law that the law of God has nothing whatsoever to do with them. Their greatest fear seems not to be sin, but possibly being called a legalist. On the other hand, there are still others who emphasize the law so much in salvation, in sanctification, and in service that they have actually adopted a name that means something very similar to legalist. They have adopted the name theonomist, which means quite literally God's law. They are the God's lawists. I was reading the words of one of these writers, and he says, well, it's actually a he and she, and they said, according to those verses, whatever they may call themselves, all who are not keeping the Ten Commandments of God can be certain that God does not love them. Anything contrary is a lie. The sinning Christian has been repeatedly told that God loves you and has a wonderful plan for your life. Sadly, nothing could be further from the truth. For their end shall be eternal destruction. Can we despise God's grace by flouting His law and be loved? And in the wording of that little quotation, there is a deliberate mingling of the idea of being saved and being sanctified, indeed being an object of God's love, on the basis of how you keep the law. The same writers went on to say, God's love is not unconditional. Now this is not a little fringe group that is writing this. This is a major part of especially Reformed Christianity today here in the United States. So the battle lines are drawn. The controversy is still raging. On the one hand, those who are practical antinomians, and on the other hand, those who are laying a very, very strong emphasis on the law of God. Now the matter is not a small one. The issue is so great that it touches the very essence of salvation and Christian living. How are we to be saved? Is there any more fundamental question that you and I have to face in all this world than that? How are we to be saved? How are we to live as Christians? What is the God-given standard for the Christian's life? How are we to view the law of God? And what part does the law of God have, if any, to play in the lives of born-again, justified believers in the Lord Jesus Christ? under the evil influence. And I do not hesitate to say, certainly in this regard, it has been an evil influence. Under the evil influence of dispensationalism, all too many of God's people shrug off the obligations of the law of God. How often have you personally heard it said, "Oh, that's the Old Testament. We live in the New Testament." How often have you heard it said, when you seek to bring the Word of God and the plain commands of the Word of God to bear upon the life of a professing Christian, "Oh, we are not under law. That does not apply to us." What does the Bible have to say? Surely, that's what we must discover. We read tonight in James 1, verse 25. Notice the wording carefully. "Whoso looketh into the perfect law of liberty and continueth therein, he being not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this man shall be blessed in his deed." Notice the words carefully. Here James speaks of God's law. And if I could give you the force of the words as James wrote them, he spoke of the perfect law, the one of liberty. The perfect law, the one of liberty. That's the Holy Spirit's description of the law of God. Then he speaks of believers looking into that law, not ignoring it, not shrugging it off and saying, "Oh, that's the Old Testament," but looking into this perfect law of liberty. Then he speaks of them continuing in it, and then he speaks of them doing it. And when he has said all that, he pronounces a blessing on those who look and who continue and who do the law of God. Now, I think that would seem to sum up very clearly the position of the believer and the law. However, there are many other statements in the New Testament, and they call into the controversy. So that tonight it's my job to make it clear to you that what I've just outlined for you from the book of James is in fact the teaching of the whole Bible on this subject. And I'm going to set out to prove one thing tonight. And it's this, that Christians, and I'm talking now about real Christians are called to continual obedience to God's law, and thereby to blessing and liberty. Understand me carefully and plainly. Let there be no mistake about this. What I'm saying is that God Himself calls the people He has redeemed to continual obedience to His law, and through obedience to His law, to blessing and to liberty. Now that's what I want to set out and prove tonight. First of all, can I make this clear to you? You cannot become a Christian by keeping the law of God. You cannot become a Christian by obeying the law of God. God offered life on the basis of keeping the law once only, and that was in the Garden of Eden. And when Adam fell, such was the devastating result of the entrance of sin into humanity that it was from that point totally impossible for men to fulfill God's law. It was impossible first for them to remove the guilt and the stain of the sin that was already in existence, and it was impossible for them to establish a perfect righteousness before God by keeping the law. When the rich young ruler came to the Lord Jesus Christ, He asked him what good thing he would do to inherit eternal life. The Lord Jesus Christ answered him like this. He said, "If thou wilt enter into life, keep the commandments." Now, some people imagine that the Lord Jesus was saying, if you keep the law, you'll be saved. That he was offering this young man life on the basis of law keeping. The Lord Jesus would not have been so cruel. We are told that the Lord Jesus looked in this young man and he loved him. So we are certain he was not dealing with him in irony. He was not dealing with him in judgment. He was dealing with him in kindness. And if the Savior had said to a man who was a sinner by nature and a sinner by practice, "Oh, just provide yourself a perfect obedience to the law and you'll be all right." If the Lord Jesus had indeed been saying that to him as a possibility, it would have been cruel mockery. But no, what he meant was this. Here is a young man who was very, very upright. The hardest thing in the world for him to believe was that he was a sinner. And so, as he came before the Savior, he says, "I keep the law." That's what he said. "I have kept the entire law." It's hard to believe that people talk that way, but I remember witnessing to a young woman whose life was very, very far from perfect. Everybody who worked with her could see that. And I remember giving her the gospel of Jesus Christ and seeking to show her her need of salvation. And she simply looked me straight in the face with the blankest of blank stares. And she could not begin to understand her need of a Savior because she had never broken the law of God. No conception of sin and unrighteousness in her as against the absolute holiness of God. And that's where this rich young ruler was. So the Lord Jesus met him on his own ground. And what he said to him meant in effect that the law was the standard, not of some human righteousness, but of a perfect righteousness. And unless that standard were met, the rich young ruler would never enter into life. Always difficult to get men to see their sin. And I must confess that preachers compound the difficulty. I listened to a preacher this morning as I was on my way to church, and I tuned him off and got away off to somebody else because he was only grieving my heart. First of all, I don't think that in addressing God or speaking about God or praying to God that preachers should bring the language of the gutter and the language of the streets into the pulpit and talk about God saying to you, "You really goofed up." I want to tell you, the God of the Bible doesn't talk that way. But the biggest problem I had was this preacher's definition of sin was so deficient. It was some lack in the man that didn't let him live up to his potential. It was something in the man that hurt one of his neighbors, but there was never any point of reference of the absolute holiness of God and the absolute righteous standard of the law of God. We live in a day when men can glibly say that they're not too bad. Why? Because the pulpit has suddenly gone silent on the holiness of God. The terrible, awful holiness of God. That holiness that is so bright that it eclipses the noonday sun. That holiness that is so blinding that the very angels of heaven cover their face and they cry, "Holy, holy, holy." Let a sinner get but a glimpse of the holiness of God and he will never again glibly say, "I am okay and I am working my way to heaven." No, the Lord Jesus was saying, "See your sin. See your inability to fulfill the holy law of God. For unless you have a holiness and a righteousness from the moment of your conception till the moment of your death, unless you have a righteousness and a holiness that is equal to that of the purest archangel in heaven, you will never get to glory by keeping the law. And of course, since we're born in sin and we live in sin, the feeble attempts of unsaved men to keep the law can never, never, never justify their souls.
You've been listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America. We hope you've enjoyed and benefited from today's program. We're here as your servants for Christ's sake. If we can be of any further help to you in the things of the Lord, we invite you to contact us. If you would like to receive our booklet, Separated Unto the Gospel, a booklet that sets forth the beliefs and standards of the Free Presbyterian Church, you may have a copy free of charge, simply for the asking. Our mailing address is Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. If you wish, you may call us at 1-864-244-2408. That's 1-864-244-2408. Our email address is info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. If you would like to learn more about the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, or if you'd like to see if there's a free church in your area, we invite you to visit our website, www.fpcna.org. That's www.fpcna.org. This is Charles Kelch saying thank you for listening and inviting you to join us again as we Let the Bible Speak.